This is the Colorado Real Estate Experience. My name is Dick Girard, and my co-host is Pat Draw. Today, we're going to talk about some real estate trends in the Denver metro area and kind of where they've been and kind of where we think they're going to go in the next year or two or three. So, Pat, how's it going today?
Oh, good. How about yourself?
Good. Good. Yeah. Starting out 2020. Little crazy out there in the markets, but it seems like there's a lot of activity right now.
There is. There's a ton of activity, and this is such a relevant topic. Looking at the list of buyers that we have and have been talking to, I mean, a lot of people are asking that question. You know, I think a lot of people understand when we say, you know, the key to building wealth can start with real estate, and I think people understand what we're saying there. But one of the big questions they have, people still are looking at the trends and they're wondering how this can keep going in the capacity it's going now. And granted, I think we always will err on the side of caution and say, obviously, you know, you're going to have the ebb and flow of real estate over time. However, at the same time, the one thing that people don't realize is where the numbers lie. And that's something that you and I have been talking about at length lately. Is looking at the trends in terms of inventory versus houses sold, especially compared to the last 10 plus years.
Yep. You know? And we're always talking about supply and demand, and that's, you know, we tend to make these things way more complicated than they should be, you know. With the economics of real estate, it really is about supply and demand, you know. Right. If there's more supply than demand, prices are going to come down to meet that demand, and vice versa. If there's more demand than there is supply, prices are going to continue going up, and that's what we're seeing. I've got a question for you. I still have people that are afraid to jump in the market because they think that we're at a bubble. You know, and they're afraid of 10 years ago when we were, you know, at that that kind of crisis level with the banking and all that kind of thing. Do you still get that, the people that have those fears?
So I do. Not anywhere near as much as I had the previous 5 years, just because I think that the generation...
Wearing off a little, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so let's just talk about the numbers. I mean, it's not even just the numbers. I mean, supply and demand is one piece. There was a whole other factor involved, or whole other factors that were involved with what happened in 8, 9, and 10.
Oh, right.
That, you know, the chances are very good that anybody, you know, at least in their 30s, maybe even 20s, will never see that in their entire lifetime again. Right. And I know that you and I both hope we don't.
I don't think we're ever going to see exactly that. Now we're going to see markets change, and I think that's healthy. Markets go up, markets go down, and I think that's definitely a healthy thing. But hopefully we won't see those major swings.
Well, and so nobody's isolated. So I don't want to make it sound like the Denver market we're completely isolated from those things. But, you know, I know from having family members and living in other states in the past, you know, some of the trends, when you look at like the Midwest, it's a totally different animal.
Right.
Because the demand is different out there than it is here. There are people that are moving here. And if you look at the predictions, and I've been through a lot of different, meetings with different like local municipalities, governments, and their expectations for growth. And it's really interesting to see what they're expecting. I mean, I think they're really expecting Denver to be a 5+ million person city in the next, you know, between 10 and 20 years. I mean, I think the numbers were pointing more towards the 20-year mark. That's a lot of people, you know. Yep. Because you got to realize people are moving out of here too, because, you know, it's just not their... Whatever, they're getting transferred, they're retiring, they're going to different places, whatever, the natural progression of people moving out. I mean, there's a million different things. Yeah. But the point is that when you look at what is going to happen over time, and you look at the predicted growth of the entire metropolitan area, that from a long-term perspective bodes extremely well for your ability, not just to build wealth, but to build more wealth through real estate than what you might be able to do in other markets, and actually hold on to it.
Right. And we talk about the, you know, when we get into that demand thing, I've seen in especially the last few years, you know, 3-4 years, that there's a lot more, and you were talking about demand in the Midwest versus here, you know. I mean, I was looking at some places in Montana, you know, that were, you know, negative 40 below, you know, zero this weekend, you know. Yeah. And it's like, that's not as desirable as 300 sunny days, but you still get the snow, you still get the mountains. So there's a lot of positive things here. I mean, it's a very desirable place to live. You know, the beaches in the West Coast, and, you know, there are some places that just have things that other places don't. And I think with the economy now, with a lot of people being able to work from home with the computers and that type of thing, you don't really have to go into an office. There's a lot more people that can, you know, that can work from home. Then they can live wherever they want to live. They don't have to be tied to a factory in the Midwest, or, you know, a farm in the Midwest, or whatever those, you know, used to have to be there. Now you can live wherever you want to live and still make money and still have that same job, you know, with the age of the computer and that type of thing. So I think that will benefit some parts of the country, and that will hurt other parts of the country. You know, other parts of the country are going to see people, you know, moving out of there if they don't do something to keep people there.
Well, what you're seeing, and again, I mean, you do have this influx of people that are coming from other parts of the world. I mean, we all know from living here, there are a lot, there seems to be a progression from the West, and a progression from the South, and a progression from the Midwest into Colorado. You know, yep. And I mean, they're really, everybody's coming from everywhere. It's a great place to live. And, you know, that piece translates really well into the value of homes. And again, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have the cycles, but I think that we definitely have a lot more stability built in. You know, there's a buffer, if you will, like an extra layer because of the desirability to be here that really should be factored in when people are buying a house. And I don't mean, it's not like part of the equation of buying a house, but when somebody would come back and say, well, what about the bubble? Or what about, you know, these values keep going through the roof, and what's happening here, and why, you know, I don't feel comfortable with these. The values at some point in time will go down. And I will tell you this, and you know this as well as I do, I don't think it's anytime soon. So you may buy the house and it may go up for a couple of years. It may level off for a few years after that. And so we never, you know, we would never sit there and tell people, hey, you know, buy a house at all costs. Doesn't matter. You know, if you think you're going to move in a couple of years, or you think you're going to move in a year out to a different state, it's totally a different animal. Buying a house is not for everybody. However, if you don't foresee yourself making some major change in terms of where you're going to live geographically, then there's no better time than now. Right? Because you are going to make money off it. And we don't ever want to sit there and try and convince you that, like, this show isn't about real estate investing necessarily. This show is about homeownership and how homeownership is a huge benefit to you for laying the foundation for your financial future regardless. And we've always said this, the number one thing is this: you're going to live and have to pay to live somewhere, pay yourself, right? And that's the big thing. And that's really the draw. So in answering that question, when we're talking about, does this make sense, or, you know, right now, why would I buy right now? Well, the answer is this: it's all about supply and demand, and there's not a lot of supply and there's a huge amount of demand. And the one thing that doesn't even show, because we can't calculate that, right? I mean, because it would take a completely different type of study that's not available to us. And that are the number of people that are sitting on the sidelines who want to buy, right? Because right now, we just did the math this morning, we're at 75% of the inventory is turning over. That's huge, right? That's a lot.
Yep.
You know, and obviously that creates some great situations in terms of stability. It would be different if our inventory was through the roof and was turning over that fast. Maybe that would have a different future cast, if you will, in terms of what could happen to values. But the inventory is still very limited for the size of the city. And that just tells you that people are not wanting to necessarily sell, right? Which is good. That creates stability because people aren't moving out of here in droves. Like, I've seen places in the Midwest I've studied where some of my family is, because looking at their values and helping them make decisions. And you can tell there's a mass exodus in some respect out of certain places, but the values just they're not going to go up, you know? And I've seen that, like I said, with family members who, you know, have seen still rises in value, but just at a lot slower pace. And I think we have something unique here in terms of how it's working. And you and I both survived in some capacity the whole thing in 2008, right?
Right.
So when I say that, I mean, there was, at that point, there was a totally different thing going on that should have concerned the consumer that we saw and we addressed and we felt like this is a problem. And that was how unrestricted the lending world was. And that's not the case right now. The lending world is still somewhat conservative in terms of how they, you know, how they've restricted the underwriting. Now, granted, it's a lot easier to get a loan than it was. There are certain things. However, the one thing that's different, and I'll bring this up and we can address this any way you want, Dick. But the one thing that is extremely different, there were two particular types of loans back then that we don't have now. Even though you could buy a house with nothing, you know, really nothing down other than $1,000 or call it 3.5% or 3% or 5%. Even though you could still do that right now, it's totally different than what it was like in 2000, you know, pre-2008. And at that point in time, the values were going up, but people were repeatedly taking 100% of their value. Every time their appraisal went up, it was a mass like rush to get the equity out of their house, to pay off credit cards, to use the money for other things. So you had a large, large amount of people sitting there with no equity in these houses at all. And so what happened is that, you know, that they were using that money, which fueled the economy, and it's a whole other story. However, you don't have that now, right? You don't have people going out. And yes, you have people consolidating their bills and with the equity in their home, but they're doing it at 80% of the value or 85% of the value of their house, not at 100%. And there's a gigantic difference on how that works. And yep. That's one big piece to why things are definitely different right now when we see these nice increases in value. They're totally different now than what they were 10, 12 years ago, or probably 12 plus years ago when we really saw the same type of increases in value.
No, yeah. And just like you were saying, this show isn't about real estate investing. It's not about getting rich quick. And that's kind of what everybody was trying to do back then is this, you know, I'll buy five or six houses and get, you know, I'll just turn them over and we'll just make all this money. And that's not what we're about. We're about, you know, building wealth, you know, slowly and, you know, doing it in the right fashion, but taking advantage of every situation that we can. A lot of those mortgage products that we had back then, there's nothing wrong with the product. You know, they were great products. They were just sold to the wrong people.
Right.
And exactly that's where the problem was. And that happens a lot in Wall Street and banking and things. It's all about greed and making more money. And they made a ton of money on those people, you know, but it, unfortunately the market's, you know, corrected and it took out a lot of those individuals.
Well, let me ask you this, because you're a lot more qualified to talk about this piece than I am, but after the Great Depression in the 20s, mm-hmm. we had the war,
right?
World War II, 40s, early 40s, 41, 40, 41, 42. The surge in real estate and in the stock market and everything else. And I don't mean it was just like this, you know, it was like the nation took off. So the Great Depression was this huge reset. And really we still had the ebbs and flows, right? I mean, it wasn't like you could, you know, you were banking on the equity in your home when you sold your house. However, during that period of time, which is a long 50, 60 year history, there were a lot of millionaires made through real estate.
Absolutely.
A lot of millionaires made to the stock market too, simply by people solidly investing in what's going on. And so I think, again, we can't predict what's going to happen. We can't predict what's next, but it's nice to see that, okay, you had this massive reset in the 20s, then you had a pretty good, a really strong actually growth cycle in real estate and the stock market, you know, with its normal ebbs and flows over the next 60 plus years. And then you had this major reset again. Well, that doesn't necessarily say the next 60 years are going to be the same, but just the history of that tells us that the country's come around, we're building in a different way, and there's also hedges in place with regards to keeping those types of activities in check so they won't cause the same problem again.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into all of that. You know, I mean, one of the main things that caused there's a lot of things that caused the Great Depression. So I don't want to act right. like, you know, I know every single one. But one of the main things that really hurt the people was that the real estate mortgages were not set up. They could call your loan anytime. So the bank, when they needed money, they'd call the loans and people would lose their houses. And that's what happened. Even though they could even make the payments, they'd lose their houses, and that caused a lot of problems. So and then they couldn't get jobs, and then they couldn't get another house, and then, you know, then we went to the, you know, 30-year amortized mortgage, you know, and that, you know, stabilized the market. Now a lot of people in 2008, houses drop tremendously in value, right? But as long as you can make your payment, you were okay. You didn't get kicked out of your house, right? And so the job market didn't go totally bad in 2008. So you could still pay the mortgages, and or some people could. There's a lot of people that lost their houses because they were overvalued and that type of thing, and they couldn't pay the mortgage anymore, or it just didn't make sense to pay the mortgage anymore. So there's a lot of different things that come into now. Now that, you know, the Fed is artificially keeping interest rates down and keeping the stock market up. So there's some artificial things that are going into the markets. And if those ever get pulled out, there can definitely be some, you know, volatility in the market at some point. But I don't see that happening in the near future. And they're going to artificially keep interest rates down, and that's going to be good for home buyers. And, you know, we just got to take advantage of this unprecedented low interest rates the way they are right now. Because you look at the history of interest rates, and, you know, 7% is a great rate. You know, and, you know, we're in the threes and fours, and you just got to take advantage of that when you can. If you can lock in a 30-year rate in the threes, you know, 10 years from now, that might be unprecedented, and it's going to be very good for you moving forward.
Well, and so you hit on some key factors there, and that's why I thought, okay, this is really good to bring up, because this is a long-term trend. You can't go into real estate and just think that nothing, you're never going to have a downturn, because it's just not going to work. Just like the stock market. Like, you invest in your 401k, then you stop investing because you have there's a bad year. Well, guess what? That bad year is opportunity for more growth. And it's the same thing when you talk about real estate, whether you're buying right now or you're buying later. The one thing I think that is key right now, and this is what I'm telling people, because I have had that conversation with a lot of people, right? Especially a lot of first-time home buyers or people that have to sell a house and wonder, why am I going to sell this to go buy something else? I'm trading, you know, for whatever reason.
Right.
And the number one thing I tell people is this, is that really our values are still pretty moderate. You know, I mean, they definitely seem a lot higher, but that's just natural growth and progression. Yep. And if you look at the entire market in general, in Denver metro area, I mean, really we're not, as high as a lot of the markets in the on the East Coast, on the West Coast. So, I mean, there's still a lot of opportunity. There's still a lot of growth, a lot of building. There's a lot of revitalization going on. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we have that other people don't have. But here's the other piece, and it really makes a big difference. And right now we have a unique opportunity with values not being through the roof. Even though our inventory is low and our demand is pretty high, our values really, we're not seeing that right now. We're not seeing people pay, you know, $30,000 in cash over list price necessarily right at the moment. You know, this time of year in January 2020, we're not seeing it. I'm not saying it's not going to come back. But number one thing is this, is that where interest rates are right now, it makes a big, big difference. The difference in interest rates today compared to where they were even really this time last year, it's almost a full point.
Almost a full point.
And that truly makes, from the perspective of your payment, right? If we're talking apples to apples, it depends on the value. So I'm really generalizing here, but just keep this in mind. It's 35 to 50,000 plus difference in house price for the same payment.
Yep.
And so it makes a big difference.
It totally does. And, you know, it's all relative, right? If you're coming from, you know, the Midwest and Missouri or, you know, some of these places, the housing prices look outrageous here, you know. But if you're coming from California, Southern California, they look great, you know. You know, our average home prices in the Denver metro area are almost $500,000 now, you know. And that is a lot of money. But in some places in California, you know, it's $700,000-$800,000 is the average home price. So we, like you said, we still have a little ways to go. But the reason housing prices can go up the way they have is because of interest rates being so low, and the Fed artificially keeping those rates low, and that's something that we have to take advantage of now, because, you know, like you said, you know, a $500,000 house a year ago, there was a lot of people that wouldn't qualify for that. They'd only qualify for a $450,000 house. So that extra money is there because you can afford it.
Right. So let's bring this up, because this is something I think that, and again, and some people watching this or listening may not even, you know, this may not even register 10 years ago. I mean, they may have, that buying a house wasn't even on their minds. So they're not even thinking about it. They didn't pay attention to it then. But think about, because you and I are in two different scenarios. You know, I took it in the shorts on my house, you know, in 2008, where you stuck it out. Yep. And look where you came around. So, I mean, there is something to be said, and there is some sort of stability in the fact that you're like, I got to live somewhere. I'm not going to sell my house, that's even right. though, you know, I've lost some value in the one of the worst
a lot of value. Yeah.
times in yep. real estate history. You know, you stuck it out, and 10 years later, it's probably more than doubled since then.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we looked at moving and renting and all those things that everybody else did, but, you know, we could afford the payments. And, you know, that you couldn't replicate what we had, you know, and so it worked out over time. And if you look at the history of real estate in the country, it does work out over time. But, you know, like you said a little bit earlier, if you're looking at a 1 or 2 year time frame, you might not make out perfectly, you know. But if you're looking at 5, 10 years. Then you're probably gonna make out.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you're not gonna lose money for sure.
Well, and the point is I keep coming back to this because I think it's the number one thing we have to talk about is that you're going to pay to live somewhere. Pay yourself to live there.
Yep.
Right. Because you're going to come out ahead, and you're going to build wealth through real estate every single time, no matter what your long term goal is, whether you buy a starter home for just yourself or just you and your significant other or whatever it might be, and then keep that and rent it out down the road, or whether you buy it and use the equity from that to go buy the next one.
Yep.
I've seen a number of people, and you and I have talked about this in almost every podcast. We've seen success story after success story after success story, you know, and the only real downsides or failures we've ever seen are when maybe, you know, in some unfortunate situations. And those are things that are beyond people's control.
Right. Right. Because there are some people that bought in, you know, we bought our house in 2005 and 2000, people that bought in 2006 and 2007, they did the right thing by buying. You know, they didn't know that it was going to crash in 2008, you know.
Right.
So that makes a difference. The other thing that you don't know in Denver, you know, in Colorado, in the 80s, you know, they there was a change in the rules for the savings and loan, and for how you sheltered money, and that really hurt the oil business that was really big here in Colorado. And so in the 80s, we had a real dip in real estate and in the economy, where some of the other parts of the country did not have that. So when the government changes the rules, that's something that we can't really forecast. You know, it's not a political show, but, you know, if you get, you know, a more socialistic type of a government versus a very conservative type of a government, that can change the rules on housing and interest rates and the stock market and all of those things. And we just have to kind of take those as they come. But right now, you know, with the economy going the way it is, with interest rates the way they are, it's definitely a very good time in the next few years, I believe. But something could happen that could change that. You talked about World War II, you know. We get into some major war, that could make a big difference, you know. Or if something happens in the economy, that could make a big difference, like happened in 2008. So some of those things are very, very hard to predict. But you can't worry about that kind of thing and miss out on a tremendous opportunity, like if you could have bought 5 years ago.
Yep, exactly. Well, I think that's, I mean, the number one thing, and what I would leave with people, and especially from our discussion here today, is this. Now is a great time to buy a house. Rates are low, and it's still an incredible way to accumulate and build wealth and create that foundation for yourself and for your family for the future. Whether you want to buy a house and keep it to rent out, whether you just want to buy your first house and you don't even know what's next, you're going to be paying to live somewhere, pay yourself, and accumulate wealth while you're at it.
Right. So do you want to look at those statistics a little bit? So let's just look at these real quick. I know we've talked about a lot of things today, but let's show some, and this just goes to the market and where we were 10 years ago. And if you can see this, and obviously if you're listening to this on the podcast, we'll try to do the best to describe these numbers. But, you know, in August of 2010, we had 24,000 houses active listings in the Denver metro area. So as you can see, that has gone down tremendously, you know, and right now, you know, well, if you look at the peak, you know, of last year in August of 2019, we had 13,000, which is a lot better than it was in, you know, 14, 15, and 16. But it's still way under our normal listings. If you go back in time, is in the 20,000s. And if you add the number of people that are here now compared to what was here back then, we really should be in that 20 to 25, maybe even 30,000s in active listings. That kind of makes a normal market. So we're still way under on our demand. So that just kind of gives you a little bit of an idea there. That's why we're always talking about supply and demand, because our demand is still high, but our supply is very low. This is the supply side of that. And if you look at the listings that have sold from that 2010 area, you know, so we had 25,000 active listings, and there was 4,500 sold in that month.
Yeah, it was an incredible buyer's market at that point.
Right, that definitely was, right? But that's kind of what a normal market was back then. You know, it was 20,000 listings. We sold, you know, 4,000 or 5,000. Now, if you look at our list, or the amount of sold has gone up every year. It went down a little bit in 2016, but it's continuing to go up every year. But our supply, you know, is, look, 7,400 sold, and there was only 13,000 listed. That's a tremendous amount, you know. And if you look at now, December of 2019, compared to December of last year, 4,000 on the market right now, there's, 4,000 sold. And this year there was 57 sold. So
extra 1,000 homes sold.
Absolutely. And that's a big percentage. So the demand is definitely there. The demand is going to continue, in my opinion, because of the reasons that we talked about before, the ability to live where you want to live. This is a very desirable place to be. You can't replicate the Rocky Mountains anywhere in the world, right? So that's never going to change. It's always going to be a demand there. But if you look at these charts, how things have gone up, and the number of houses that have been the new homes that have been built are not enough to satisfy the demand that's here.
Right. Well, and so what that leads to saying is that there's just a lot of opportunity for growth in terms of the value of a home in the market.
Well, and if you look at this too, this is the average sold, or here's the average sold, and it's not a tremendous spike up or spike down, right? This is a very nice trend up, you know, and it's kind of going sideways here, but it's trending up still. And I think that that's why what you have to look at. This isn't the top of a bubble. This is, this is very healthy growth. And I think it's definitely a great time for anybody to get into the real estate market.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. Why buy now? Because everything we just said.
That's right. So if you want some more information, you can reach us a lot of different places. You can go to www.coloradomortgageadvice.com or you can text us and text the word buy to 720-650-6440, and we'll get you some more information. Call us anytime. We'll do a free consultation for you. And you know, our goal for this and for you is to just get all the information that we can give you, educate you on the markets, and see where you fit into that. And we'll give our recommendations, and everything we do is free of charge, and we'll be happy to help you out any way that we can, and to get you in this market.
Absolutely. Let us know if you have any questions.
Have a great day, and we will talk next week.